Let's do the mash, the kaiju mash. Hey, everybody, welcome to this crazy day that we're going to be talking about Godzilla and Kong. So this is going to be interesting, everybody, here on Two Geeks and a Microphone.
Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to Two Geeks and a Microphone. I am your co-host, Mr. Stephen Boster, along with the one, the only, Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land. Get ready for some kaiju goodness this morning.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. And then we also have Mr. Theron, too cool, Lowry. Theron, say hey to everybody.
Hey, hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
And then we've got the mistress of evil herself. No, I'm just kidding. We've got Megan with us. Megan, say hey to everybody.
Hi.
The mistress of evil. Wow.
Did I become Elvira?
That's true. That is Elvira.
Elvira.
Well, she's the mistress of the darkness, mistress of the dark. Yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, I like Elvira.
Now we'll do the mistress of geekdom, because Megan, for everybody that doesn't know, is also on the Geek Girls podcast along with Angie, and so that's going. How's that going, by the way?
Good. We've had four episodes.
Nice.
Three or four episodes.
One of the two.
Nice. They're our spinoff show, by the way. They're like, we're like Happy Days, and they're like Mork and Mindy.
Oh my god!
Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days.
What? Right. No, well, it was Mork, not.
Yes, it was. You want to bet?
Once I get mine's up, it's going to be an episode of Good Times.
So I'll bring the queen of classic TV in here, and she'll school you. No, Mork made an appearance on Happy Days. He was going to steal Fonzie's cool, and that was the first appearance of Mork from Ork. And the characters was there. Brenda right now chiming in. Yes, it was. The queen of classic TV right there. But he was going to steal Fonzie's cool. And the character went over so big that, what's his face? Lauren Michaels. Uh-huh. He decided to create a new TV series with Robin Williams playing Mork from Ork. Now, granted,
Gary Marshall was the guy.
Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall, Marshall. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Penny Marshall's father.
I don't know too much about this.
Hey, right. I told you I'm married to the queen of classic television. She knows everything about classic TV.
All over the road for her feathers. All right. All right. I can get you.
Laverne and Shirley was also a spinoff of Happy Days. I mean, heck, we could do a whole episode on spinoffs.
Oh, my goodness.
That's cool. Right on.
Yep.
All right, well, hey, let's get this party started, even though we actually already have. All right, Mike, what do we have first up today? We have
geeky news.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm excited about today's geeky news. So back in November, I believe it was, DC Comics had released the alternate ending of the Death in the Family storyline, with where Jason Todd was killed by the Joker.
Right. Now, we were in We were seniors in high school when that came out, if I remember right. And it was the whole, well, was it a call-in? Was it a call-in you voted?
That's how
it
worked. Yes. Yes, there was 2 1-900 numbers, because it was 1-900 because you could charge for 1-900 and you couldn't charge for 1-800. So there were 2 1-900 numbers, and one was you call it in to vote if Jason dies. One you call in if Jason lives. I called in for Jason to die.
Thank you, back in the day, bro.
I did not like the Jason Todd character. I could not stand him. I hated him. I have different feelings about him today, but I like him as the Red Hood. I think the Red Hood.
He's got a great character arc.
Oh, the Red Hood
did with him was a great character arc. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that was after he died. See, he had to die to become better, to become much more better.
When he dies and he becomes better.
Cheers.
Do you say that about Ra's al Ghul when he dies and he comes back from the Lazarus pit?
Well, Ra's al Ghul just becomes more insane. Well, that falls into Jason's. Anyway,
go ahead.
We're slipping out of control here. So anyway, back in November, they'd released the alternative. What if Jason, if Jason Todd lived? So now, this month, and I'm going to run to Fantasy after we get off the air and go ask Ashley to put it on my pull list. But this is all part of the DC Vault series, and they are going to do Death in the Family, Robin Lives. Well, they did Death in the Family, Robin Lives. What happens after Jason Todd survives his encounter with the Joker? So, and then give a little bit of the Two-Face artwork.
Yeah. Wait, you've got all the villains looking up. For those who are listening to the show by audio, we're reviewing some of the black and white, the pencilings of what's going to be part of that. So,
Jason Lives.
Jason Lives. Yeah. So yeah. I wonder if he kills Joker and then they throw Joker into the Lazarus pit. What happens to someone who's already crazy when they come out of the Lazarus pit?
Yeah, what happened? You resurrect a crazy person?
They go even crazier. that's just my guess. So that's all I got for the geeky news. But super excited about this. This looks good. We may have to go over these issues, by the way. This sounds like a episode in the making to me, because I'm a huge fan of Death in the Family. It's one of my top five Batman all-time favorite Batman stories. And I loved it when they came out with the alternative, because it was like, it was one of those things you always wanted to see, because you knew there was artwork for it if he had actually lived, because they actually did it back in the day both ways in case the vote went the other way.
Yeah. And
it was always in the back of everyone's mind. So what would it look like if he lived? So we got that. Now we got that. So now we get the continuing story of how Jason would react. Okay. After now, he lived.
This is kind of the Elseworlds thing that I would get into versus a multiverse, if that makes sense.
Right. And I don't really consider this multiverse. This is more of a what if than a multiverse. Yeah,
exactly. This is like more of a what if type or do.
Right.
Cool.
So,
okay.
So you don't poo poo on this one, huh?
We're not going in different dimensions.
Right. Exactly. What would the story have been had it went the other way? And I enjoy that too. I think that's cool. All right. That's it for my geeky news. Should we move on to Geek Dark?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Throw with the radar, sir.
What's wrong with it?
I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps.
The what?
The what?
And the what?
You know, the bleeps. The sweeps. And the creeps.
That's not all he's lost.
All right. So for Geekdar, this is a little bit of history for me and Steven. So this came up in my memories on Facebook 10 years ago today.
What?
I had posted our picture of us with Manu Bennett, Deathstroke himself.
So he was super nice.
He was. That was so fun.
I was surprised. And he's also shorter than I thought he'd be.
He's from New Zealand, I believe.
Yeah, he is. He's from New Zealand.
And
he invited Stephen to go Stephen and I to go up on the stage with him.
We ended up bumping into him walking on the way to his panel. And he's like, "You guys coming to my panel?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "You come up on stage with me." I was like, "That's okay."
Had that happened today, I would have went, "Hell yeah.
Let's do it." Yeah.
Let's do it. You going to plug the podcast?
Yeah, because I think he recognized, because we had just gotten our picture taken with him a little bit earlier. So I think he recognized us from getting picture taken.
And if you notice, he's wearing a Green Arrow necklace there, too. And
yeah,
I think, didn't he give that necklace away during the...
He did. There was this one guy that was there, was kind of telling his story and just telling him thank you for just his acting and being a part of the show. And that show helped him in his marriage or something like that. And he was, so he gave him the arrow, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Actually, I just remembered that when I was sitting here looking at the picture. I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that.
Special happened about that necklace. And
right.
So, 10 years ago today, we met Manu Bennett.
Gosh, 10 years ago, dude.
Feels like a lifetime, doesn't it?
Oh, God. I mean,
Steve looked like he had a six-pack at the time. I don't know about now, though.
I think you're looking at Manu.
Yeah, I think you're looking at Manu.
Oh, buddy. Okay. Well, that's memories. My geek talk. So.
Memories. That's nice. Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty cool.
I thought it'd be fun to share it since it came up in my memories this morning. I was like, I don't really have a geek dar today. So that is my geek dar. So my geek dar is us, Steven.
Yay.
The only other geek dar I have is go Battlehawks. Today is the home opener. I'm going tonight and I can't wait.
In turkeys. All right.
Turkeys. Good call. How's that?
Yeah,
Law's law, baby.
That's funny.
We are going to the Battle Dome, and I can't wait. All right, we ready for the main event?
I am ready for the main event.
Let's do this.
It's time for the main event.
In a Battle Dome, they coming out with a
yes, Battle Dome.
They did the mash, the Kaiju mash. They did the mash. It was a
continuation of
world size smash.
That was pretty clever, Steven.
Well, thank you.
Up, Monster Mash.
I was inspired by the title that you made, actually. So nice. I got to give kudos to you. So nicely done. Nicely done.
That's very good. I really like that one. That was cool.
Halifax.
All right.
Oh, okay, cool.
Who's from Australia?
Sam Roger. I just
Darren's over there doing his own show, man.
My fault. Go ahead. You got it.
He's reading our comments.
Yeah, it's a comment.
Good morning, Sam. Oh, Aussie from down under. Mm. I think Sam probably joined us before. I know we've had a couple Aussies join us, but thank you to all of you down there in the down under. Appreciate it.
Hello, Sam.
I hadn't switched over the comments, so I hadn't seen it.
Speaking of which, that's probably would have been a better battlefield in Australia for the monsters to fight versus in the city. I'm pretty sure no people was harming that whole entire production.
So wait a minute. So you would have preferred that Godzilla destroy Australia than Egypt,
yeah, and
Rome
and Rome and stuff. Oh, he really destroyed Rome. He just slept there. He just slept there.
I love that. I love that. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, Colosseum, man, that was dope.
Yeah. Yes, Steven, you said you hadn't seen it yet. For me, it's the nighttime. But oh, nice. Sorry, Sam.
Good evening, morning, Sam. Good evening.
Here it's morning. So, but anyway, speaking of nighttime, Godzilla did sleep in the Colosseum in Rome. He used it like a little pet bed. It was great.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's awesome.
So funny, man.
That's awesome. Okay. So we're talking Godzilla. How do you say the name? Is it Godzilla X Kong or what's the official title?
Well, I mean, it's spelled out Godzilla X Kong. Some people are calling it Godzilla and Kong, though.
It is really.
Yeah. Because there's not, well, there is.
Here you go. You have approval from an Aussie.
Oh, he has. Yeah, he has.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They wouldn't trample over each other. I'm sorry. I don't want to get too far out of the weeds, but that would have made much better sense for them to do it. But they did it in Egypt. It was not that bad.
Nice. Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Much more better. Nicely done.
Okay, so we have an Aussie approving of the idea of Godzilla and Kong battling.
He speaks for the whole entire country, by the way.
Sam is the complete voice for Australia.
The ambassador for monsters to fight on their land.
Congratulations, Sam. We just made the ambassador of Australia.
Okay, they're good. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So just for our audio listeners, there's a lot of empty land in Australia. Godzilla could stomp around and not kill anyone. That's what Sam said.
See?
I like how you're looking out for humankind, Sam. That's cool.
I mean, you may harm some kangaroo out there. I mean, but who cares?
Well, those kangaroos might want to try and fight him. Have you seen those videos of kangaroos fighting people?
They're vicious.
Man, they're badasses.
They look like they got the same build as Godzilla.
They do. And they got longer arms, too.
Yeah.
They look like they should be so cuddly.
But they're not. They're mean.
Same with koala bears.
Oh, really? Koala bears are mean, too?
Koala bears are mean.
No, they're not walking up and hug them. I'll definitely do that. Walk up and hug a koala bear because they look so lovable. You should do that.
And then they're going to act.
You're going to get your face small.
Right. They're going to act just like the little baby Kong did in this movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Oh, my goodness. That was great. Okay.
Okay. Now, this is a nice perspective for me. I haven't seen it, everybody. So I'm curious to hear. But first, I need to hear the overall.
Okay.
We'll do the storyline. Let me know what the storyline is, kind of in general, and then without spoilers, just the general premise. Oh, I could bring it up. Why don't I just bring it up and see what the things? Okay, so somebody go and give me your overall score. What you thought?
All right, who wants to go first? And
what's the scale?
Yeah, what are we using for a scale in this one?
Well, is it not actually bears?
This is true.
Oh, wow, that's new.
They're marsupials.
Wow, we've turned into Animal Kingdom here on Two Geeks and a Microphone.
You know how many koala bears I had when I was growing? I had an obsession with bears. I had Care Bears.
This episode brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Sorry. Oh, I just remember that as a kid.
I remember that too.
Panda's not a bear. My fault. Go ahead.
Okay, so it says Godzilla and the Almighty Kong face a colossal threat hidden deep within the planet, challenging their very existence and the survival of the human race.
That's kind of a vague statement, but all right.
Okay. Yeah, it's really vague. Very vague.
Yeah.
We still didn't come up with a scale.
What will be the scale? Do we want to use eight little Kongs? Do we want to use?
We can use little Kongs. Sure.
Oh my goodness! I love it.
He has a name. I want to figure.
Even though he started out.
No. They gave him a name, and I just don't remember. I saw it somewhere.
They did say something about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name. Well, everybody really pretty much. Because, like, even the bad guy, he's got a name, too. Was it Scar? I think it's Scar. Scar King. That's Scar King. The bad guy was Scar King. We'll go with Little Kongs.
Suko.
Boo, you got a Scar King.
I got the cup, man. Yeah, buddy. Oh, I got the cup.
Look at you. That's cool. Well, dude, you should have done that for GeekStar. You didn't tell me that.
Is this a
That's
geek
pretty neat.
Okay. All right.
you guys, you're in Alton, right? I always forget. Edwardsville. So you guys got an AMC theater, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, we got Marcus here. Marcus never gets anything cool like that.
That's going to be much more better than you guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cheers.
Dude, I had all types of stuff. I was going to go back up there and give me some
the
more
president and Marcus, he does his own marketing campaign before the movies and stuff, and he drives me crazy every time he comes on. I'm like, shut up.
So the Geek Wrangler is coming back in to get us back on topic.
All right.
Yes, sir. Right. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Megan, what was his name again?
Suko.
All right. So this movie is kind of it's not your typical Godzilla versus Kong. Kong and Godzilla have to come together to fight a common enemy in this, because if they don't, that the enemy is going to make it to the surface because he's coming from, well, spoiler alert, sorry, I wasn't supposed to give spoilers, but he's coming from Middle Earth or whatever, you know, whatever they call the center of the earth where they took mm-hmm. Kong in the last movie.
Hollow Earth.
Yeah, thank you. He's coming from Hollow Earth and he'll take over the surface world if they don't team up to stop him. So the two of them have to team up and stop them. I'm not going to say this is the best Godzilla King Kong movie ever. But it is a ton of fun.
Ooh. It has a lot of action. It's very much action.
If you're looking for a popcorn munching monster kaiju, monster buddy cop movie.
A monster buddy, a kaiju buddy cop movie.
That's exactly what it is. It's a kaiju buddy cop movie.
Okay. I love it.
I was just waiting for King Kong to roar or for Godzilla to roar and say, "Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?" And King Kong goes, "No, nobody understands words coming out your mouth."
Oh my goodness. Actually, hold on a minute. There was a scene where he was trying to get him to understand, but Godzilla was so, you know, they're both territorial. That's the reason why Kong stays in Hollow Earth and Godzilla stays on the surface because of how territorial they are. And plus, on the surface, there are also kaijus spread it all out. So they all are territorial themselves. That's not giving away a spoiler. That was actually explained.
That's already been established throughout Monarch. Right.
Yeah. So as long as they don't go into each other's territories, then they're fine.
Right. Exactly. So being that this is a buddy cop Godzilla movie and it's just so much fun, I got to give it an 8. 8 out of 10. It's not Godzilla Minus One, because Godzilla Minus One is almost as close to perfect as you can get for a Godzilla film. But man, this is just a fun movie. And so, and the great
eight
thing
out
is,
of 10 what? 8 out of 10 what?
8 out of 10 Sukos.
Mini Kongs.
Right.
Mini Kongs. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we can't use the battle axe because, I mean, even though the battle axe was actually a thing what Kong uses on a routine basis, but you know, the Skull Kong, him, he has a, like a whip and chain type ordeal. So
yep.
I don't know what that, and that little, the M piece, is it like a controlling mechanism, but yeah,
yes,
it's actually not really good.
It's not bad enough that they're giant monsters. Now the giant monsters have to have
weapons. imagine that, right? I can't wait to see.
Yeah, that's true.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, they got weapons and they have pets now.
They got weapons. They can ride on things. They know how to do jiu-jitsu because they was doing some crazy monkey kung fu, boy. I ain't gonna lie
monkey
to you.
Kung.
It was
Everyone
crazy
was
how they
kung
was moving.
Fu fighting.
Yeah, they were literally kung fu fighting. I'm sorry,
Steven. Scar Kong is what he's called.
Yes, I think it's Scar Kong. Yeah.
Yep.
They were literally kung fu fighting.
Kung fu fighting. I love that.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Kung fu fighting.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Aaron's taking ownership of that one. That one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might have to put that on.
So far, we've got the Kaiju Mash, and now we've got Kong. Everybody was Kung Fu fighting.
All right. So I give it an 8.
Okay.
I would definitely give it high marks on this one. So I'll go 8 too, because I laugh a lot throughout the movie. I'm gonna take away the human element, the human logic, and I'm gonna take my scientific hat. Take your scientific cap off. I'm telling you, science and physics. Leave it at the door once you walk into the theater, because I'm telling you right about now, you're gonna be like, what? But at the same time, don't think too far into it. Just go with it. And then the explanation of everything, the expository aspects to it, where they just right. Like, oh, well, this is the reason why that is happening. Just be like, okay, that makes sense. And then just, you know, just take your head off. But you're there to see monsters go head to head, and you're there to see Kong do his business. And I love the fact that how Kong established that he's smart, he's capable, and he's not going to back down for nobody. It was amazing. And then you also saw Godzilla do his thing, and how he was able to just, he morphed throughout. If you notice that, he actually changed over time. As he take the essence of the other kaijus he defeats. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the movie was overall badass. I'm sorry for cussing, but yeah, it's bad A.
I already did that anyway, Theron, so you're right.
Well, I just, you know,
my virgin years. It was a good years.
My kidding. Fault, man.
That's all good, man.
It was good. Okay. So this one, and I will say too, it was a redemption arc for Kong in this movie that was set the precipice of like how his character would have been if it was Kong versus Godzilla. Because in Godzilla was really the big bad, and he was the dominant one. Kong in this one, yeah, he was. It was awesome. It was a really good movie. Action packed. Go see it. It's a good movie.
Nice. All right, Megan, go.
First off, I have to say, mom's obligatory go Kong.
but here's also she says 8 little Kongs.
8 little Kongs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing is, when she said 8 little Kongs, I was thinking of the play, what is it, 8 little, is it 8 little Indians? With the murder mystery, with
is it Agatha Christie? Statues.
Indians.
I think it's 10 little Indians.
10 little Indians. That's right. I was thinking that. Yeah, you're right. It's Agatha Christie. In high school, we had a play of that, and our friend Jonathan Thorne was in that play. Unfortunately, Jonathan has passed away. But
I was thinking the 10 little monkeys jumping in the bed. One rolled out of bumping bed. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. And they that should have been said too.
10 little Kongs jumping on a bed.
Man, there's the third one.
You're writing these down, Stephen, for T-shirt ideas. Right? Said,
no more said, little Kongs jumping on the bed.
Sorry, we're trampling all over Megan's overall. Go ahead, Megan.
Yeah, go, Megan.
Go, Megan.
It was a very fun movie. I love Godzilla. I still like his original color better. It's not really a spoiler, because if you've seen the pops, you'd also know it. But he ends up changing color. I like the blue better, but I still love him. And there's not much more to say. But
what's your score?
I would say I'd go with 8 as well.
8. Okay, so we're all in agreement. We all give it an 8.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go into spoiler territory here.
I want to talk about the premise first, just like a recap of the premise, other than that vague of one that Steven did, because they wasn't trying to save the human race. It was a little bit more than that.
Here's what Wikipedia says. Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, is a 2024 American monster film directed by Adam Wingard, produced by Legendary Pictures. It is a sequel to Godzilla vs. Kong and the fifth film in the MonsterVerse franchise. It is also the 38th film of the Godzilla franchise and the 13th film in the King Kong franchise.
Wow, there's only 13. 13 Kong.
In the film, Kong encounters more of his species in the Hollow Earth and must unite again with Godzilla to stop their tyrannical leader and powerful frost-breathing Titan from destroying the surface. So here's the plot. 3 years after defeating Mecha Godzilla.
In King Kong, in the verse,
In
the Kong versus Godzilla, those their biggest, they came together at that point to
go. I will say, I wasn't expecting that in the first one. I didn't see that coming. I like that. So, okay,
I didn't like that version of Mecha Godzilla, though. The original Mecha Godzilla looks way better than that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, all right. What'd you say, Megan?
I just wanted to interject with how you say it. If you go by anime logic, it would just be Godzilla Kong, because they never pronounce the X in anything that has, like, for example, there's an anime called, it's supposed to be called Hunter Hunter, but it's got like Hunter on the top, X in the middle, and then Hunter at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So I've seen discourse over that too. And I've seen everybody mostly agree that it's supposed to just be Hunter Hunter, not Hunter X Hunter.
Okay, so this is Godzilla King Kong.
Yeah, it's kind of used as a space or a comma.
You know, they could have just put a dot in there.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess it looked cooler with an X. Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
That's okay. All right. 3 years after defeating Mechagodzilla, Kong has established his new territory in the Hollow Earth and searches for more of his kind. While on Earth's surface, Godzilla continues to maintain order between humanity and giant monsters known as Titans, killing Scylla in Rome and resting in the Colosseum afterwards. So that references what you were saying earlier. That's kind of funny. Using it as a cat bed. That's pretty funny.
Okay. That's exactly what he looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
even crows up.
You'll see him in the ocean.
Let's see. A Monarch observation outpost stationed in the Hollow Earth picks up an unidentified signal. On the surface, the signal causes Gia, the last known survivor of the Iwi tribe from Skull Island, to experience hallucinations and flashbacks, causing her adoptive mother, Dr. Eileen Andrews, to worry. Also sensing the signal, Godzilla leaves Rome and attacks a nuclear plant in France to absorb the radiation. Godzilla then heads to Tiamat's lair in the Arctic. Monarch believes Godzilla is strengthening himself to face an oncoming threat. Oh man, this goes through the whole thing. So that's a lot. Yeah. We'll just say that. All right. So continue on. You guys do your.
And then you have, the second coming of like Mothra or whatnot that comes in there. Because they actually did this. They explained the plot once they got to Hollow Earth, and they got to the Hollow Earth Iwi tribe. They had a whole description of what all was occurring and how it was going out, and it was so happened to be how everything led to that point that the Skull Kong wanted to kind of make his way to the surface world, so therefore he can plunge the Earth into another ice age, if I'm not mistaken, right? That's the reason why he kept the beast in the covered in lava, so it wouldn't escape. And he had a little device on the end of his whip chain to control it. And it was kind of hard for him to control it because it didn't look like the beast wanted to be controlled, but he had no other choice. So every time he was like trying to like, hey, you know, shoot your beam here, and he was just like trying to force him to do it. He was like, no, I don't want to do it. And then all of a sudden he did it anyways. But ultimately, I think that the fight scene between Kong and the Skull Kong was actually phenomenal. That was one of the that was a really good highlight of the see those two in combat, and then also see the ruling aspect to where all the other Kongs, when Kong was trying to find his people and everything, why he wasn't able to find them, and you know, that whole control, it was a little bit like slavery a little bit, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's definitely,
because so you got Kong is looking for family, more or less, you know, because he is the last of his kind, or at least he believes he's the last of his kind, and
he's the last from
right, Skull Island. From Skull Island. Yeah. And oh, we also learn the kind of the origin. We learn about Kong's parents and how, how they die and everything. Yeah. Which that was pretty neat. I like that. But yeah, he's looking for other others like him. Mm-hmm. And then he finds the little Suku, the little Mini Kong. He finds the Mini Kong. Yeah, that little Mini Kong, man, he's a little bastard.
Did you see the part? Okay, it was a part where he used him as a weapon.
I thought that was awesome.
That was funny. He was like, oh, I'm trying to help you. He was like, no, I ain't trying to help you. I'm trying to, like, basically, you know, set you up. And he was just like, oh, since you want to do that, you bite me? And then he used him as a club. I thought that was hilarious.
He tries to give Mini Kong something. I think he was trying to feed him at that point because Mini Kong was hungry. Suku was hungry.
No, this was after the fact because he was trying to tell him to go take him to where he came from, the other ones. Well, this was like when he reached out.
What did he reach out to him for? He reached out for something and Suku bites his finger. And it was like, whoa, that's why I said he's a little bastard.
Yeah.
It was that point I was like, I don't know if I like this little. Yeah.
And then he was. Like, you know, on the fence, he was like, oh, this is a big Kong. I love the fact that Kong never backed down. He exerted dominance when he came across any of all creatures that he came across. And even when he saw the skull, you know, Kong and everything, he was just like, man, get out of here. Like, who you think you are coming up against me? And when he yelled, I love how the fact that the skull Kong, he seen his tooth and he was like, look at this guy. He ain't real.
Oh, yeah. We have to explain that. So yeah, again, spoilers. So if you're watching this and you don't want spoilers, stop right here.
Okay.
Go see the movie. Pause. Yeah. We'll pause for a minute. 1, 2, 3. All right. We're back. Okay.
Steven left.
I just kidding.
So,
I got to see it now.
So yeah, Kong, before all this happens, mm-hmm. Kong's down there in center Earth or whatever. Hollow Earth, and he's got a toothache. One of his fangs actually is infected or something. It's swollen, and they're monitoring him. You know, the humans are Monarch is monitoring him, and they realize what's happening, and they bring Kong to the surface. They get him up to the surface because they have these portals.
Kong did get to it.
What's wrong until he gets up there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Kong goes to the portal. I guess he's expecting them to help him. And they send the guy. I don't know what his name was. I should have had IMDb up, but I don't.
Trapper.
Trapper?
Yeah. Yeah, his name was Trapper.
Man, is he Trapper John MD? Anyway.
I have no idea.
Another spinoff show, by the way. Trapper John MD was been off of MASH, but anyhow, so he comes down and he actually removes Kong's, well, he gives him a sedative.
Yeah. Did y'all like his character? His character was so
I want to talk about not that. Not
even funny. Yeah, okay.
I want to talk about that. But first he removes the tooth and he gives him a fake tooth, which is metal, and it's like a black metal. And everything. Mm-hmm. Megan, looks like you want to say something.
I was just looking at his IMDb page.
Oh, okay.
He apparently played the Beast in the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Trapper did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's funny. Wow. So, he helped.
They gave Kong a Rook now. Was it? Is that what you call it? I'm like, yeah. Oh my goodness, it was fun. That was the first 15 minutes of the movie. He got his
right. So yeah, Kong gets a root canal, and when he ends up meeting up with Scar King notices the false tooth, and he laughs at him.
Yeah, he put his hand in his mouth. I don't know what it is about them putting their hands in their mouths. I'm like, I don't know you like that. He did. He came up and he checked him. That's the first thing he noticed. He walked around him. Skunk. I love the fact that was a really dope scene. Kong is just standing there and he was just like, you know, the Skull King. He was just basically sizing him up. He was just looking. He walked around. Uh-huh. It's, that was dope. I was like, yeah, I'm the one that's here. And he was like, all right, cool. Let me check you out. And then he put his hand in his mouth and he noticed the false tooth. And he was just like, look at this guy. And I was oh my goodness, I laughed so much. That was a really good
moment. That was great. It was a great moment. But they're trying to establish who's the alpha male right there.
Yeah, who's the real big bad. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which I mean that's appropriate in like a Gorilla Kingdom. You know, there is always an alpha male who runs the pack.
There's an alpha, and then there's also a second in command. Usually the second in command rolls with the alpha, but then he's going to be the one that is going to eventually challenge when the alpha gets older. The second in command typically takes over, but it also could be the alpha male's children. It just depends, or another one. So yeah.
So what you're saying is they're like Sith.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Only two. Only two there are.
Yeah,
only two there are. Yeah. An apprentice.
I was watching a documentary series about gorilla tribes and stuff like that. Don't ask me. It was on Netflix. I just so happened to be like, okay, I'm just gonna watch these monkeys.
You see Brenda's comment?
They ain't monkeys, but gorillas. But yeah.
Start of a grill.
Start of a grill. Of a
grill. Oh yeah.
Kong's gonna have a grill in the next movie. He's gonna have a grill. He's gonna come out there rapping.
That's funny. I don't think they wear grills no more. That's not what's that 2005 Zane and Nelly thing.
Okay, grills.
Do they have grills up there where you live at, Steven? They do something else.
I'm sure
they
probably
do something else. No
comment.
They probably were
Steven took his grill off so for the show. Oh, they wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and
they don't have grills. They have Invisalign. It's the same thing. It's just
when they take people to the train station there.
Yeah, I got that reference.
That's the Yellowstone reference there.
Oh my goodness!
That's what they do in Montana. They take you to the train station when you don't do things the right way. Anyway, that's a Yellowstone thing.
All right.
So back to Kong and Godzilla.
So after that part, for some odd reason, did you get the sense of the movie that Godzilla knew something was coming way before anybody else did? That's the reason why he went and to supercharge himself in order for him to kind of go up against the end scene of the movie, which I thought was pretty interesting, how the humans were just like, oh, well, I need this explanation in order to understand this. And I need this explanation. This is the reason why he's acting the way he's acting. And I'm just like, yeah, I got out of all of that from people who couldn't speak English.
I believe that Godzilla has a Spidey sense.
Oh, you think he has Spidey sense?
No, I can yes. go with that.
Yeah, it was Godzilla definitely had a Spidey sense because he ended up taking. That's the reason why he went to the lair of the one creature that was in Antarctica and then took over his ability. That's why he was able to transform. His dwarfal fans got even longer and he was able to turn more. What's that? Pinkish? Pinkish.
Yeah. Yes, he turned from blue to pink. That's what Megan was referring to when she said he didn't like the color change.
He went from blue to pink?
When he
absorbed the radiation from
the other kaiju.
Are you saying he became a Powderpuff Girl?
So he can change his sexuality whenever he wants.
Well, I don't mean it like that from that point of view, but I mean just, you know.
Oh my gosh! I
didn't know. Color coded. Ladies and gentlemen, take science hats off. It ain't gonna mean.
Did he go back to his normal color after he expended all the energy?
It was just to signify that he powered up. That's the only purpose in the color
change. And so they could sell more pops.
Well, that too, because we saw Megan and I saw Godzilla pop for the movie, like a couple couple weeks before the film came out.
And it was
and
a pink
Megan's
one.
Like, Dad, why is he pink? And I'm like, I don't know, because he's pink in the new movie. And I'm like, I guess we'll find out in a couple weeks. And sure enough,
thought it was gonna be a girl.
She did.
No, but that was the rumor.
I just didn't know why.
There was a rumor of that it was a girl Godzilla. Well,
technically, yeah. Nature.
No, all it was it.
Oh, we're talking about Godzilla.
It just signified a power change. That's all. So they.
I think, yeah. but don't get me wrong. Wasn't Kong like? I'm sorry. Wasn't Godzilla? Godzilla seemed like he knew what was going on, but Kong was kind of catching up to speed. He was trying to warn Godzilla, like, hey, we got a bigger threat here. This guy, this Skull King, he has this other kaiju that can freeze. And he's pretty much of a looming threat, so we need to team up. And Godzilla was like, "Nah, you on my surface, you get back where you belong." And then they start. That's the reason why they started fighting. Yeah,
it's I love just that. Like, you go to your home.
Yeah, and he was like, "You don't belong here." So that's the reason why he was trying to get him to understand, like, "Hey, there's another threat that come up here. That is out there."
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I think Godzilla did sense that something was coming, but he didn't know what. You know, just knew there was a threat coming, and he knew that he had to protect his territory. Well, then Kong pops up, and he already knows that, well, Kong is kind of an enemy to him. Mm-hmm. So his natural instinct is, yeah, I'm going to kick your butt, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's why
Save your power ups. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kong's trying to convey to him. Hey, I'm not here to tread on your territory.
Yeah.
I'm here for your help, you know. And yeah, Godzilla did.
Kong gets a power up too. He gets a power arm. He gets a power arm. Just I'm telling you, turn your brains off, people. When this giant ape gets a mechanical arm, like Iron Man, without a repulsion beam to it, and he's able to. And this is what killed me about this situation. Okay, I'm just gonna say this right about now. So he tried to stop it with the axe, and the axe froze over. Right, it was a scene where I can't think of the name of. Can you look up the name of the ice kaiju real quick? But when he shot the beam. Yeah, and then he tried to stop it with the axe, just like how he tried to stop Godzilla's beam with the axe. He can only do it for so long. The frost of it, frost burned his hand, and they end up kind of the humans in the situation end up healing or kind of giving him a mechanical or a prosthetic arm and stuff like that so he can be able to fight. So you got to think about it. That's nothing but steel.
I wouldn't call it a prosthetic arm. I wouldn't call it prosthetic.
Well, not a prosthetic arm.
Yeah. It's an enhancement of his arm. So
to me, I thought of it more of as a cast.
Okay, honestly. Like a they said it was like a cast of. So
is it exoskeleton suit kind of a thing?
Yeah,
kind of.
Kong, kinda. Iron Man, that's Iron right. Kong.
It's an Iron Kong. He has a power fist. It's a mechanical fist that he's able to like interact with and then you know use to knock out. He literally did this, knocked out Godzilla, and Godzilla was just like. He was out for a second, and then he was like, wait a minute. He woke up and realized he was being dragged, and then he just shot a beam at him. Dude, that was dope. I'm not even going to lie to you.
I am Iron Kong.
but the arm was to the point where he was able to block. He was able to block the ice giant's beam with the axe in it, but it still froze his arm.
Her name is Shimo.
Shimo? Okay, so but Shimo, when he tried to block the ice beam with the arm, with the mechanical arm, it didn't do anything. It worked as a shield. It worked as an Iron Man shield, like the invisible shield. I was like, wait a minute, what kind of metal is that? That's just regular steel. That should have froze over and broke.
No, they said it was some kind of special metal that
was a special metal for it.
Yeah, it was.
That was being experimented.
It's called Iron Maiden metal.
It was crazy how that was. And he was able to defend off the blast that was coming his way. And I love how the
next movie, he gets the boots where he can fly like Iron Man.
You got me saying Iron Man now. How Shimo was able to freeze Godzilla and Godzilla broke out of it and he shot him with the blast. It was some pretty cool action scenes. Like,
oh yeah,
that last half when they all started to fight each other, that was epic. That was much better than the Kong versus Godzilla movie.
And it's much more better.
Yeah, that was dope. I love that. Mm.
So there was a whole lot that obviously we all loved about this film.
Yeah,
but this film is not perfect. There are some things about it. Like, so Theron, you brought up the guy, Trapper. You brought up Trapper, mm-hmm. and then we have the mother. I cannot remember her name.
The doctor, I can't think of her. The one that do sign language, yeah.
Now, they were in the last movie too, because obviously that's when she finds the girl who's a part of the Emu tribe, and she adopts her, and so on and so forth. So they were in the last movie. I don't remember, and it's been a while since I watched the last movie, and I need to rewatch it. Eileen, is that her name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't remember Eileen and Trapper being quite as annoying as they were in this film.
No, Trapper was definitely oh my goodness. He was like, have you ever seen this movie?
Oh, I thought they were both annoying. I didn't like either one of them in this movie.
Yeah, well, Eileen's character, she was basically telling you everything. I don't really care for the human interaction in this movie, to be honest with you. The Iwi people, they didn't say anything. If you watch them, they did not say anything. And they just stare, like how they just stare, and then they just know what they were talking
about.
That's why they're mute.
Yeah, they're mute. That's why the girl does sign language, you know.
They communicate telepathically.
Okay,
you as Steven would say, asshole.
Okay.
I got an info for you, then, Steven.
That was I just thought it was pretty crazy. And then
that's why the guy who with sign language, and that's how she's able to communicate with Kong also, because she knows sign language.
Yeah, right. But the Iwi people, they didn't do any form of communication.
Well, they were saying that,
but you didn't know if they were beings. There was like a reasoning behind it, because the girl, she wasn't really doing anything to say, okay, this is what they said. If they're talking to her telepathically, well, I mean, she couldn't even, like, if they were talking to her telepathically, she could do the sign language in order to interpret it, right? That's how I would see that scene.
My little sister's watching the show. Welcome, Michelle. yes, so they do use ASL. Actually, the ASL was introduced in the Godzilla versus Kong, the last movie. Because that's when they introduced the girl of the Emu tribe. And yes, she does sign language to communicate with Kong. And I love that aspect of that film. I think that was one of the coolest things. Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense, because people have communicated in real life with apes using sign language. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a famous story of a particular ape in captivity. And this ape actually became friends with Robin Williams. They brought Robin Williams in to meet the ape one time. And I think Robin Williams learned a little bit of sign language to communicate back and forth with the ape. And when Robin Williams, unfortunately, killed himself, they told the ape, they conveyed the news to the ape. The ape was depressed for a long time after that, because
I know.
I'm
saying he would have took a long vacation or something like that. Let's keep lying to the ape. He ain't gonna know the difference. Like, he ain't gonna go to see him in Rome if he was ever to be in Rome. Like, I want to go see him. I miss him.
I get that. Bro. I'm just saying. I think that was a great aspect to the film. That was a good thing that they added to the film, because it's something that really happens in real life, where humans can communicate with apes with using sign language. And I thought it was neat, because it's the only time
passed away.
What is that?
I said, I wanted Bobo know that Michael Jackson passed away. He probably living his.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if Bobo knew sign language or not. Anyway,
Coco. I'm thinking Coco was the one for that.
That knew Robin Williams.
Yeah.
That was friends with Robin Williams. Got it. So So yes, that's an aspect of these movies that I really find cool, is that they use the sign language to communicate with Kong. Great way to be able to communicate with him, actually.
Mothra in this one.
Mothra was cool. Mothra looked awesome in this too.
Like way better than the first one, didn't it?
Yes. Pretty. Yeah, I like her. And it was fun that they made the girl, took the place. If you watch the original Godzilla versus Mothra, there are these tiny Japanese women. I don't know what they're literally supposed to be, these tiny women, and they basically control Mothra in the movie. And she kind of took that same place as those women did in the original film. So there was a little bit of callback to the original Godzilla versus Mothra film. And I think that's pretty cool, calling back on the classic Godzilla films.
Paying homage. I like it.
Yeah, paying
homage. And I love how Mothra was able to communicate. For some odd reason, Mothra and Godzilla, they have a somewhat of a connection where they can communicate.
Moth to a flame.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Oh, we on a roll today, guys.
Yeah, we are funny today, aren't we?
We're getting it in. Yeah, man, that's funny.
That was a good one, Steve. That was almost Brian level.
I know. I'm trying to work my way up to Brian level. I'm telling you, admiration. Yes.
you definitely
out of the neck is not.
Got a little more sleep tonight, Steven.
I did, by golly.
That's awesome. That
I did.
So yeah, Mothra was great. Love Mothra.
Okay.
My only issues with the film, again, I think the two human characters, the Doctor and Trapper, I think they're quite annoying through the film.
I'll say three, to be honest with you, because it was the black guy that was in there too. It was just like
was they just there for exposition kind of thing.
Yeah, they're kind of there just to help move along the film. Yeah, Bernie the podcaster. See, I like Bernie. I like him. It was
fun in the first one, but it was just like, can I go? And then it was just like he was just being tailed along. It was like, why? But I see why they did it. He was the comic relief in
the
movie to break it up.
Besides, I identify
with him. I thought I was going to be that.
You
wanted to like record and try to, and right. Every time they did stuff, he was like, move out of the way. I'm doing a recording.
Wait. So you identify as a podcaster and comic relief?
There you go. You got it.
You got me.
Yeah, he also relates with podcast and Ghostbusters.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Very much.
Okay, I have an Steven. All right.
Love it.
That was going.
I'll look over him. He's fine.
Okay.
Some of the CGI is just a bit over the top in this. I don't think this is Hollywood's best CGI work. Honestly, some of the scenes are beautiful and fantastic, but I think there's some of the fighting scenes where it's kind of, it looks more video game-ish than it does. Temp post movie film, you know.
Okay. When they were fighting in like what's that? When he was fighting in
when they're fighting in middle in Middle Earth and
yeah.
I keep wanting to call it Middle Earth, Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth. When they was fighting in Hollow Earth, that was crazy. When they fought on the beach, I was just like, yeah, all those people are fighting those condos and those resorts. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. No human was harmed in that whole entire scene. No humans.
All right. I'm going to go back to my story with Megan when she was just a little kid, when she was like 3 years old, and she was watching the original Godzilla film.
And yeah, a Bigfoot movie? I'm sorry. I'm reading the comments too, guys. My fault.
I didn't know there was a new Bigfoot movie coming out.
I didn't know either.
Focus.
I blame Michelle.
Kong is Bigfoot, if you think about it. Kong is really
Michelle's
Bigfoot.
Fault. She threw me off. Anyway, where was I at? Oh my gosh.
I'm having squirrel moments. Don't
that's
do that.
My point.
I have squirrel
that wasn't my fault. to quote Han Solo, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. Man, I forgot what I was talking about. Dang it. Michelle, you messed me up.
I know. She did that to me, too.
I completely forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about me.
So, Megan was a little girl. She was, you told
her something. I was telling Megan's story. So Megan was a little girl. And she was watching the original Godzilla film, and it was close to being over. And I went in to take a shower, and I come out of the bathroom, and Megan's in the hallway crying. And I'm like, what is wrong? They killed Godzilla. And I was like, no, he's not dead. Are you sure they shot him with a giant gun? And I said, sweetie, he's in like 20 more movies. Trust me, he's not dead. Okay. Now, she had no concern about all the people that he stepped on, all the buildings he crushed. And, you know, who gives a crap about the humans? All I care about is the giant monster lizard. Yeah. So that's my response to your comment there, Theron, about how the people on the beach are okay. Megan could care less either. All she cares about is giant lizard.
And now as an adult, she's like, yeah, I guess that's, it's okay to shoot him with, yeah, bullets and missiles don't do nothing to him. You know how many times
she's still shooting? Okay, okay with Godzilla stomping the people.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not watching his stuff. He's just tiptoeing around people as they're going around. Hey, let me watch out for them. Kong, I noticed that Kong was doing the same thing too. As soon as he saw, like, I think he crashed into a building and he seen people running for their life, he was like, oh crap, we need to move away from here or something in that nature. But Godzilla, for some odd reason, he just pick up this extra speed and then start body slamming him. Did you see he suplexed him off a freaking pyramid?
Yeah, it was almost a wrestling match. Yeah,
oh yeah, that was it was cool. Really good. He suplexed him off a pyramid. If you want to see monsters go head to head, especially in Egypt, the pyramid. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. That would be they a good destroyed play. All the pyramids. And I think they destroyed the Sphinx too. I was just like, oh my gosh, they're destroying. Oh no, that sucks.
Yes, there's not. Culturally, I'll be ticked off. But then again, I mean, hell, it don't make a difference. I mean, they destroy like Paris and all over the place. Because he went to Rome. He was in Rome. He destroyed one of the, what's that? It was happening in an opening scene or whatnot that I think it was Godzilla. He destroyed one of the monuments in Spain, and they were like, oh, tell the Spanish people, we'll deal with it as monarch. I was just like, what are you talking about? That was like a cultural thing for them. I think.
Well, now they showed Christ the Redeemer, but I don't think they actually destroyed Christ the Redeemer.
No, you're talking about Rizzo de Janeiro? Yeah, they didn't do that. It was like that one. It just showed it being frozen over. But in Spain, they destroyed that bridge. That one. I can't think of God, and I got to look it up. It's the one.
The one that goes across the water.
No, it doesn't go across the water. It's actually a pretty. What is it? I think somebody just put it in there.
Okay, now Michelle's sending a spam.
She's sending a spam. Somebody got
a it's a YouTube. It's a YouTube video.
I'm not going to show any YouTube videos. We got banned the last time we did that.
Only in two countries.
Well, this is true. Only in two countries, and I think it's because it was the music from Beetlejuice. That's why we got in trouble. At least in two countries. It wouldn't even tell me what countries we got banned in. That ticks me off. Anyway. So
it was another thing, too, is like the government couldn't do anything. They helped Monarch responsible for not being able to control Godzilla when Godzilla was going all over the place, you know, doing things. They was like, you need to bring these monsters under control or we're going to shut you down. And they was like, yeah, whatever. It's like if you shut us down, you can't do anything about it.
This is true. I mean, Monarch's the one who pretty much controls everything. And I don't know. I kind of get the feeling Monarch is the government. So,
yeah.
Honestly, I think they're controlling the government, too. At least it seems that way to me. Anyway,
What was the best thing to you? I love the scene where they were, when they did the slow motion where you had both of them going together, and then you seen Kong riding on the side of Godzilla, and then Skull King riding on
the buddy cop scene.
Yeah, that was a buddy cop. How does a buddy cop, Mike? I don't really
because they join forces. They're like, you know, they're like
bad boys.
Yeah, sure.
A ride along? I don't see that happening.
He was doing rush hour earlier.
Bad kaiju. Rush hour. I compared it to rush hour earlier when I said that Godzilla says, don't you King understand Kong words is from out my mouth?
Tucker and
right
is Godzilla. Oh, you right. are crazy, sir. You are crazy. Oh,
how did you just now know? Notice that connection.
Oh my goodness.
Don't understand. Don't you understand the words coming out Godzilla's mouth?
Oh my goodness. You are something else. You are something.
Oh gosh.
So I'm thinking like another buddy cop moment and stuff like that. Like,
we got to throw out a disclaimer here though. Remember, the views shared by Michael Shanks are not the views of two geeks in a microphone. Not necessarily the views of two geeks in a microphone.
Who is you?
I'm trying to make sure the show doesn't get canceled in case I do.
It will be fine.
That's funny. It's actually a pretty good one.
Anyway. So. Overall, I really enjoyed this movie. Like I said, it is just a fun Godzilla King Kong movie. If you are looking for a popcorn munching, just mind numbing, because like Darren says, at times you just got to kind of shut off your mind and just enjoy the whole kaiju goodness of the film, because it's just a smorgasbord of kaiju monsters. That's what it is. I'm going to call it a smorgasbord of kaiju monsters. And it's fantastic. And I do stick by it's a buddy cop film, because Godzilla and King Kong join forces like buddy cops. That's exactly what it is after their opponent. And then I loved it when they finally defeat Scar, and then Kong kind of takes on the other monster. Megan, what was the other monster's name?
Shimo.
When Kong kind of takes on Shimo as sort of his pet now. But he's, you know, it's
he's
more of
controlling her,
right? It's more of a pet and not an enslavement like Scar did with her. And you got that scene with all of them there. And yeah, that's just a fantastic scene. And then my other favorite scene is Godzilla napping in the Colosseum. That's just priceless. I mean,
I think he's adorable.
It's so funny. I love it. I tried to find a picture of it, but I guess they're not releasing any pictures of it because it's too soon. You know, they want
it's people still to go, theaters,
right? They want people to go see it in the theaters. So yeah, overall, I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. Kong and Godzilla are both fantastic in it. I love, Brenda says, I love how they became, how he became the leader, but not the enslaver. Exactly.
Kong. Great. And then finally Kong found his people. He did, release them from, you know, under the rule of the Skull, Kong and everything. And, I thought that was pretty good. So he found his tribe in a sense, and hopefully,
right.
And I think after that, that's pretty much when the movie ends. They don't do a continuation. There's no post-credit scene or anything of that nature. So
yeah, we hung around and there was no post-credit scene. Oh, you found it. Awesome. I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's Godzilla sleeping. He's laying down to sleep in the Colosseum. It's just like a cat bed. I absolutely love it. I think it's so fantastic. It was one of the funniest things in the film. But yeah, if you want a good just popcorn munching kaiju goodness, go see Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla Kong, however you say it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that pretty much wraps up everything.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, just like as an epilogue, I want to follow up on Michelle's thing about Bigfoot. There are three Bigfoot movies coming out. She sent the trailer to Sasquatch Sunset, the official Red Band trailer. So enjoy. And then there's also a documentary called, or I don't know if it's documentary yet, called Bigfoot Grip of the Monster. And then thirdly, there was one that just came out called Amityville Bigfoot.
Oh my gosh. Well, now I got a question. We covered in Geeky News a few weeks ago that Marky Mark Wahlberg, him and his company they've acquired the rights to the $6 Million Man, and he's wanting to remake the $6 Million Man with him being the $6 Million Man. And you know, in the original TV series, $6 billion. Anyway. You know, in the original TV series, $6 Million Man actually did go up against Bigfoot. That was a big thing. So maybe if Bigfoot's making a movie appear, maybe we can get a crossover with the $6 Billion Man. That would be fantastic. That would be much more betterer.
Much more better. Hey, cheers, everybody. Hey. Nice.
I'm out of drink.
I'm sorry.
To get one more
it's,
in.
It's the monument in Barcelona. It's the little arch.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'm trying to find the name to it, but it's in Barcelona. They were definitely in Spain for sure because they had Christ the Redeemer or whatnot. That's in Rio de Janeiro.
That's Rio.
But then again, they did show Spain, and it was like, oh my god, they destroyed this monument. And they was like, oh, the Spanish people, they'll be okay. I was just like, okay. That's how that worked.
The thing that I was most
I can't pronounce it.
The what?
The Arc de Triomphe.
Arc de Triomphe. I'm just kidding. That's my fake French.
I don't know. I don't speak French.
The thing that got me the most was destroying the pyramids. That's where I was like, oh my gosh, the pyramids.
Well, you know, they had to that's what they was gonna do. They was gonna pick a city, and then they was going to, you know, destroy said city how they normally do. And then Volkswagen actually did make a car debut in its appearance. It was just perfect how it was just like, oh, that car, it's oddly placed. Volkswagen.
Oh, I missed this whole Volkswagen thing.
That's what the doctor got into in the first act of the movie and stuff like that. It was just like right there, that promo for the car.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's what she drew.
So Volkswagen must have contributed some money to this film. Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, I think overall we all enjoyed the film a lot. So go out and see it. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. Baby Kong, right. Hopefully he makes a debut and he does some more stuff. If not, then there you go. It was a good scene. That scene where he used them as a club to beat up the other Kongs that was the slavers was hilarious. Hilarious. I would say if anything, go see the movie because of that, because it's a funny, and then he threw them too.
I do want to know, since Kong found all these other Kongs. Sorry, this just popped in my head. Since he finds all the other Kongs, does this turn into Planet of the Apes at this point? Because we do have a new Planet of the Apes coming out, so just saying. All right, Steven, you do your thing now.
Oh, it's okay. You can get Kong insurance, by the way. You just got to make sure you reach out to Bernie. He does all the advertising. You can get Kong and Kaiju insurance just in case if they step on your home and they destroy your property. You are covered. That's a real thing. All right, I'm done.
On that note...
Everybody check us out at our website at www.2geeksmic.com, GEEKSMIC.com. Check us out there. That is our hub for all things Two Geeks and a Microphone. From there, you can get to our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/2geeks, where you can help support us. We have a $1 tier, $2 tier, and a $3 tier. All that money goes to pay for Mike's Lamborghini. I'm just kidding.
That gets stepped on by Godzilla.
Model, yeah.
His model car Lamborghini.
Right. Actually, that just goes all to help pay for the show and stuff. But also, we've got some fun merch. And you can go to the website at twogeeksmicmerch.com, or you can get there also directly from our website as well. If you want to connect with us, best way to do that is show@twogeeksmic.com, show@twogeeksmic.com. We really appreciate you guys being here and hanging out with us as well. Well, with that, a couple of things I want to tell you about. I want to tell you about Podbean. Podbean is who we use for our podcasting service, and we've used them for 3 years now. I think we first started using them a long time ago. They have upped their game quite a bit now. So just so you know, podbean.com/communicate. If you want to try it out, do a little free trial that you can do up to like 3 hours for free, kind of a thing. But you'll love it. It's the best price out there for podcasts. Now, they have just recently added Podbean AI, which is an additional fee, but it will clean up your audio for you. It's pretty gosh darn cool. So it'll get rid of much more betterers and pauses. And I'm just kidding. It doesn't edit it like that. I'm just teasing. It does get rid of background noises and things like that. But the nice thing about Podbean, if you sign up for the regular yearly, you can sign up monthly or yearly. We do it yearly because it's the best deal. You get unlimited audio podcasts. All the other podcast platforms out there, you have to pay per hour, or you get so many hours with your fee and tier this and tier that. Podbean does not do that. Plus, Podbean also will help you with connecting to all the major services, and they make it so easy. They give you the instructions. They give you the links to click. They tell you what to say, all that kind of stuff. So it is very helpful, and I dare say it is much more betterer service out there. So we love ourselves some Podbean. So check them out. If you do sign up, it is an affiliate link. So we do get a little bit off of your first month when you pay. But other than that, we just want to let you know because we like it and we use it. So, all right, Mike, it is up to you now. It's all you, my friend.
One more thing on Podbean. It also helps you get connected with all the major podcasting services, like Amazon, like I can't think of
Amazon,
all of them.
Spotify,
thank you.
Apple. They did remove Google, everybody. Google no longer does podcasts, so there's no longer Google Podcasts.
Right. So if you're watching this and you normally listen to us on Google Podcasts, please go look us up on one of the other major sites, because we're all over the place. Thanks to Podbean, by the way.
Thanks to Podbean. And there were extras on Podbean. We were like, ooh, that's interesting. I had no idea.
Right. Exactly. So that's just one more reason to sign up with Podbean. We really like
that's it. Correct. And even if you want to do video podcasts, they actually have that hosting too. We don't do that, but.
Right. Because we do it here on YouTube.
That's right. We do StreamYard.
Anyway, right. Through StreamYard.
There is a link in the description too, everybody. If you want to check out StreamYard, we do StreamYard too. We really like them.
All right. If you've made it this far, please make sure and go and like and subscribe to us on both Facebook and here on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up on Facebook. You'll get notifications of every time I make a post on memes or just share something that's coming up on the podcast, so on and so forth. Any information on the podcast, I share that over there on Facebook. And give the bell tickle here on YouTube. That will notify you every time we go live here on YouTube. And we go live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I have no idea what time that is in Australia. You can ask our friend Sam, who's watching us. He can tell us. Apparently, it is night over there. So, again, I don't do math.
Ahead even.
Right. I don't do math. You do the math and figure it out. Sorry. So you can start with 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, U.S.
I do math. Balance around the house.
What's that?
Never mind. It's Brenda. Never mind. Go ahead.
Oh. All right. So with that said,
it's Brenda.
I'm trying to think of a way to close this out. Nope. Over and out. And, you don't understand the words that's coming out of my mouth. Nobody understands what's coming out your mouth.
Hey,
Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,